Our scripture, of course, comes from John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The other day, at a banquet my wife and I attended, they showed a short video of some people that were asked a question. Now, they were asked a common question, and the video caught them in the replies. I don't believe that they were forewarned of what the question was. I believe it was in Seattle, Washington, so it wasn't in a humongous city of sin, nor was it in a backwoods, sleepy country bumpkin town, but in Seattle, Washington. A normal city, educated people, walking by, interrupted from their lives to ask just one question. The question was something like, how can you tell what's right and wrong? How can you tell the difference between right and wrong? I caught myself amused and snickering, and at the end of the video, even the speaker after it said, if it weren't so sad, that would be funny. You see, these people were asked to give their view on something. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you enlighten us to the answer? I think a lot of them probably thought, sure. You know, I've been educated. I went through high school. I went through college. Some of them even with a master's degree, possibly doctoral degrees. People that were relatively educated. Now, there were a few in there that were not, and you could tell. But they probably thought, yes, I will help you out in your little quest for information. And the people, when asked, what is the difference between right and wrong, one by one, you could see the confusion in their faces, the fear in their faces, the inquisitive looks, the struggling answers, the embarrassed people that should have known at least something to say. At times it was awkward as people went round and round and round saying nothing, and they knew it. In their faces, they knew it. And some of them gave replies such as, well, when I get all tingly, I know that's the right thing to do. Wow. Many people said, well, it's up to each person what they think is right and wrong. However, they would never really say how they come up with right and wrong. Another one who, I felt so bad for him. She said, that is such a basic question. She was stalling for time because she knew it was a basic question. And I've thought about that much. And that's very important in life. Stalling, stalling, stalling. No real answer. You know, just to give them the word of God and say, here is God's absolute truth. Here's God's word that tells us the difference between right and wrong. Oh, that would have at least given some satisfaction. But no, that answer was never given to them, at least on the video. But yet the Christian should know we have the answers. We have the absolute standard of God's word. But I wonder, if we were to go to the church at large, whether it's a liberal church, Roman Catholic church, neo-evangelical church, a Pentecostal charismatic church, conservative church, separatist church, fundamental church, if we were one by one, as people leave the service, to ask them a question such as, what is truth? I wonder what replies we would get. I wonder if we could even give context and say, you know, in the scriptures, John 14:6, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean when Jesus says, I am the truth? Pastors, theologians, Bible teachers, Sunday school teachers, teenagers in youth groups, people that have been taught and trained in the scriptures for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I just wonder what reply we would get. Now, that is scary to have a video camera in front of you. You think you're going to just share all of the wealth of your knowledge, and then you're asked a question that's like, oh my, what is? What should I say here? Even given context, could we answer that question? What does Jesus mean by the words, I am the truth? Could you answer? And could you answer intelligently? Our three sections this morning, after a brief definition, will be the truth about men's knowledge, the misapplication of this truth about men's knowledge, and the solution for both. The truth about men's minds or knowledge, the misapplication of this truth, and then the solution for both. Let us pray. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for the strength it gives us to live day by day. We thank you, Lord, that we cannot exhaust its wonderful message, meaning the knowledge that it gives us, but that we can be refreshed by it day by day, ever learning new things. We pray, Lord, even this hour, that you would bless us. May we come to a further understanding of your great truth and help us, Lord, then to apply it to our lives. Mold us and make us, shape us into that which you want us to be. Help us this morning, we pray, in the name of our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what is truth? A couple of basic dictionary definitions. One of them says that which is true. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. I'll be all along my way now. Another definition, what conforms to fact or reality. Okay. Honesty, genuineness, accuracy to a standard or a rule, something that matches up. But Barnes gives us a better definition. He says, truth is a representation of things as they are. Truth is a representation of things as they are. I did some careful study on truth, and this definition I found to be most satisfying. Probably this would have helped Pilate when he was face to face with Jesus, and yet confused in the face of Jesus. This definition probably would have helped him. Pilate was not an ignoramus. He was an intelligent man, there's no doubt. Why? Because he at least realized that he did not know what truth was. I believe he was a studied man. He was, you know, high in government. He had learned things. He had decided cases, trying to determine what was true in them, whether things were right or wrong. And here he is trying to determine what is right and wrong, what is truth in the case of Jesus. And we see that he is stuck between a rock and a hard place. He is stuck between the rock of our salvation and the hard hearts of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. And in the face of this, I think he was in deep anguish, turmoil, trying to decide what is truth. Jesus had just said that his kingdom is not of this world. Was this the smoking gun that Pilate could use to figure out what was true and false about Christ and the accusations that were hurled against him? Pilate asks then, Jesus, art thou a king? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Pilate is confused. Confused of face, if we use a common term from recent weeks, in the face of Jesus Christ, who is the truth, Pilate is still confused. Jesus said that he should bear witness of the truth. Jesus bears witness, or, as Barnes puts it, Jesus bears witness or represents things as they are. Jesus represents things as they are. That is a profound statement. Think about that. We go through this life struggling with right and wrong. We struggle with spiritual realities. Even as Christians, we struggle to come to a further understanding of the truth of God. And here, Jesus, when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and life," here we see Jesus in front of Pilate. He says, "I bear witness to the truth. I bear witness. I represent those things that truly are." The world bears witness to their truth, which is not truth at all. Constantly bombarded we are with what the world delivers as reality. In the news, in academia, in science, wherever it would be, they deliver us the truth. But Jesus bears representation to things as they are, as they truly are. Jesus is reality. Jesus is truth. The Emmanuel, God with us. He came to us. He came to the people that had confused minds to show them the reality of spiritual things, that they are true, that there is a spiritual world out there. He came to show the reality of God. He came to represent God as he is, because God is. He exists. That's true. Jesus is this truth. Jesus is the truth. Now that we have a definition, we will look at the truth about men's minds, the truth about man's knowledge. Such men as Pilate remain confused. It's understandable somewhat, because men's minds have deviated from truth. Men do not see things as they are. How can I say that? Because if men saw things as they are, if they saw truth and reality, then there would be no reason for Jesus to come into this world to show them the truth, to show them what's real, to show them that God is real, to show them the real God, to show them that spiritual things are real. No, men do not see things as they are. And it didn't start with Pilate. It started with Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. And as Green says, instead of believing God, they believed the devil. And ever since, man has been groping in darkness, ignorance, and error. Even Paul confirms that. He says, you know, unbelievers have had their understanding darkened. Ephesians 4:18 shows us. Our ignorance is alienating us from God. It's pervasive. J. Aldous says this, that even religion, which above all things should be the unadulterated truth, became the most complicated and abandoned lie. And then he goes on, till Jesus stood and confronted a deluded world and said, "I am the truth." He is the representation of things as they are. The unbelieving mind, the mind of man has been skewed. We have a mind that is affected by sin, affected by that choice from Adam and Eve, and therefore man's mind is certainly deviant. It's deviated from the truth. There's no doubt of that. But some say that that deviation, that delusion, continues and extends even to believers. Extends even to believers to such an extent, and here's the important part, that God cannot be known. There is an unknowability about God. See, this is a misapplication of the truth that men's minds have deviated. They've gone off course. Even relatively good men, learned men, men that believe the Bible, men that have claimed to be Christians, and no doubt I do believe that they're saved by the power of Jesus' blood, they say that men cannot know God. These men should know better. Now, there's always been a philosophical strain that has talked about the unknowability of God. Plato said, you know, the Father cannot be known. But when he is known, he cannot be communicated. We can't understand him. Pilate's not alone in this. He could have studied other philosophers that said much the same thing. But many people today, theologians, people that profess to believe the word of God, they say that we cannot know God. Even the regenerate cannot know God. The regenerate man cannot know truth. Why? Because they say that at no point can our minds think the same truth as God. Now, I will spare you 50, 100, maybe more pages of reading, which I'm not saying I read all of that, but there's books and books and volumes that show what these men think. But let me give you the conclusion. Gordon Clark said this: it is unmistakable, after reading these men and their ideas, it is unmistakable that they say God's knowledge and man's knowledge do not coincide at any point. Where do they get this from? Scripture. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him. Job 36:26. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts, of course God's thoughts, are not your thoughts. 1 Corinthians 2:11. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Think about it. Scripture tells them. Do you see what I see? Scripture tells them. If we understand the Scriptures, then we have thoughts which coincide with God's thoughts. The Bible is God's Word. These are His thoughts. And when men read the Scripture, they are reading and learning, inwardly digesting, and then making conclusions based on God's thoughts. In other words, you can't use God's communication to us to prove He cannot communicate to us. In the words of Jolene Brown, who is now Jolene Over, that is ridiculous. You cannot use God's communication to us to prove He cannot communicate to us. See, men's minds are skewed. They're deviant. They've deviated. And men have misapplied this truth, saying the believer cannot know anything. The believer cannot know any truth of God because our thoughts and God's thoughts can't come together. But there's a solution. Clark says, you could easily conclude that man is totally ignorant, and no matter how diligently he searches the Scriptures, he will never get the least glimmering of God's thoughts. Yet, in searching the Scriptures, we find that God reveals His truth to us. He is that powerful. He is that powerful that He is able to overcome any obstacle. See, God can send light into darkness. God can call things into being that are not. God can do all of these things. There is no reason to doubt that God could communicate His truth to us. And God is so loving that He does so. Not only is He powerful, not only does He have all knowledge, omniscient, not only does He choose to send light into the darkness, He chooses to do so because He is love. He is loving. He sends His truth to us by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. He sends the Lord Jesus Christ to us to communicate truth to us, to reveal things or represent things as they are. Emmanuel, God with us. The light, Jesus is called. And that light, as most theologians will tell you, that light is a light to enlighten the man's mind so that we might know Christ is the full, complete, and final revelation of God, one man says. The Word incarnate is God's revelation to us of things as they are. In Jesus, the Scriptures tells us, in Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth about our salvation. And in that verse, I am the way, the truth, and the light, we know that it talks about our access unto the Father. But Jesus Christ came to bear truth not only of our salvation, our great salvation, but he came to bear witness of the truth. The truth about God, the truth about who God is, the truth that God does exist, the truth of spiritual realities, that heaven is a real place. I need no 8 or 9 year old boy to write a book about it. The Bible tells me so. Christ has revealed it. We are automatically skewed. We need constant redirection. There is no doubt. We need to constantly get into the Word of God. Calvin says this: if any man turn aside from Christ, he will do nothing but go astray. He will feed elsewhere on wind and vanity. Where will he turn if he doesn't turn to the Word of God? It's an automatic turning to the world. To the world. And that might not be a conscious decision that we make, but if we do not look in the Word of God, if we forget the Word of God, if we're not constantly reminded about the Word of God, the world will impinge upon us. The truths and the realities that the world represents will grasp hold of us, will seek to lead us in a different direction. No, we need to realign with the Word of God, with the bread of life, to straighten us up. It will counteract what the world represents to us as reality, and it will also counteract what the world denies as reality. Ask people, what is truth? Ask them, what is wrong? What is right? And they are confused. They're absolutely confused because they have no absolute standard. Normally, intelligent people look ridiculous when asked these questions. The questions that, when we look for answers, can only be found in the Word of God. One woman went round and round, a young lady, I think she had a baby in her hands, or her husband did, I forget which. Seemingly intelligent woman, when asked what's the difference between right and wrong, went round and round and round, and then at the end, realizing she had gotten nowhere, sort of turned to her husband just a little bit, sort of like, honey, help me. Help me say how I tell the difference between right and wrong. Certainly, I must have an answer. And he just sort of shrugged his shoulders like, honey, I have no idea. You did good just by yourself. Or maybe you've done so bad that I'm not even going to try. The world does not have the absolute standard of truth, righteousness, the truth about the difference between right and wrong, the truth of spiritual realities, and we do. A lot of times a Christian does not want to look ignorant in front of the world. And yet the world does that just fine when we ask them these questions. What say you about truth? What say you when Jesus says, I am the truth? What does that mean? Because we could give the answer, and a scripturally sound answer, that Jesus is the truth. And Lenski says, you know, there you could take any of those predicates and put it with the I am, the ego I me. You could say, I Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we know that Jesus didn't directly say, I am the truth. But that is indirectly and certainly what he's saying. I am the truth. I came to bear witness to the truth. I came to represent things as they are. Regenerate men need it. Unregenerate men need it. And we have the solution. The Word of God incarnate. The Word of God. Scripture. that tells us. See, we need not look ridiculous. The world, however, will think we are crazy, but we are not. We are trying to embrace the truth, not embrace the world. The world is trying to grasp hold of us. And therefore, we need to constantly realign ourselves with the Word of God, the truth. The Word of God, the Scriptures, the Word of God, which bear testimony to Christ, which bears testimony or reality, brings us the reality of who Jesus was, what Jesus taught, what he did, and who he represented. He represented our God in heaven. That is an awesome truth, and I say that word awesome, and it's correct. When we read the Scriptures, when we think, Christ liveth in me, the way, the truth, and life, we have it. How much we embrace it is a matter of individual concern. Let us embrace truth this morning. Let us go and walk with God. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time in your truth. We pray, Lord, that you would, by your power, by your Spirit, take hold of us. Guide us and direct us. Bless us with knowledge that we otherwise couldn't know. Bless us as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to do all things to honor you. Help us to become less, that you might become more. Help us to be humble, that you can fill us with your knowledge. A humble vessel that is strengthened by the Word of God. Help us then to be a light and testimony unto those we meet. Help us to see the weak, poor, and needy state of those around us. Help us to take pity upon them, even as they stand in their own knowledge, in the world's knowledge. Help us to take pity on them, knowing that one or two quick questions sends them crumbling down. Crumbling down, representing that reality that they are headed toward an eternity in hell apart from you, unless we give them the truth, a truth that will take care of their eternity, and a truth that will open their minds to the light of the gospel, open their minds to reality, the reality of spiritual things. We pray this, trusting in your grace and mercy. Move us, bless us, help us to honor you, for we pray this through Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.